Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
And we are back on the Blitz, hour number 2. 713-780-3776 is your number. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. You know all the ways to get in touch with us. Screw all that. I want to talk to, we have a Hall of Fame quarterback in our midst.
Yeah, I'm here asking him personal questions.
No big Warren deal. Moon.
Yeah, he wants to know how much money I make a year.
Yeah.
That's pretty personal.
Not a year. Well, when you were playing, we could just Google it. I mean, well, right. We didn't have Google when you were playing, but if you were
like
still
that,
playing,
I
we
didn't
could,
like
could
that
just
either.
Google it. But now I've got to be like, oh, what do you get for these autograph shows? That's what I was curious about. But it's an interesting thing, and I guess it's a good way for retired athletes to keep making money. And there's always going to be fans of these guys, especially guys who had some success, and you definitely did.
Yeah, there's a lot of collectors out there, and there's people that want autographs for different reasons. And, you know, I give a lot of autographs just on my own when I'm walking through a mall or when people see me out, and I'll sign autographs. And a lot of collectors hate that about me because there's a lot of guys that will not sign anything right. unless it's for money. But I'll sign for pretty much anybody, but I also sign in these shows too. And like you said, that's a way for us to continue to keep making money. And I mean, I think I earned it, so I'm going to keep doing it as long as there's a market out there that wants my signature.
Hell yeah.
Now you're a popular guy still in this city, man. It was a great career here, and
best quarterback who's ever played in
without
this town.
without a doubt, best quarterback in the history of Houston football.
There's a lot of good ones too.
Well, Jim Kelly was here.
You had
well,
George Blanda was here. Jim Kelly was here. You had Dan Pastorini.
You're reaching now. You're reaching now. Let's stop with Jim Kelly and Warren Moon. Everything else, I don't know.
So
well, Jim's pretty good, and I hope he's doing well because I know he's still
got
on
with
the cancer.
It's crazy.
And, you know, my heart goes out to him, and also my prayers.
Do you get back to Canada very often? I know you're still real popular up there. My wife is from Saskatchewan. She's a Riders fan, so she hated you, but but she talks about you and Doug Flutie in the same, you know, revered tones. Do you still get up there much?
I get up there, you know, a couple of times a year for different either fundraisers. We have a very active alumni group with the Edmonton Eskimos where I played. So if there's something going on that my schedule permits, I'll go up there and support that golf tournament, whatever it might be. And I love going up to Canada, all around the different parts of the country, because like you said, I still have a popularity up there. I go on a lot of different radio shows up there all the time. So those were great people. To me, when I was a very young guy, gave me a chance to play professional football, and I'll always remember that.
A guy like Johnny Manziel, do you think he'd benefit from going up and playing for Hamilton?
I really do. I think he should have did that even coming out of college, but he was good enough to be a first-round draft pick, even though you know, he didn't live up to that because of some of the other problems that he had. But I think it's a viable opportunity. It's a viable alternative for guys who are trying to get themselves back into the good graces of the league to go up there and show what they can do. And the game is kind of tailor-made for his style. So why not go up there, have some success, and then if the right teams like you and see what you're doing and you're progressing, then you might get a chance to come back here and play again. But in the meantime, you're getting a chance to play football every weekend and go through all the different things that quarterbacks go through, all the different situations and things that you don't do when you're not playing or when you're just sitting on the sidelines. So I think it would be a great opportunity for him.
For you, when you came to Houston, it was kind of the right time, I think, for in your career to leave Canada. But when did you know that, hey, I'm going to get a shot in the NFL? Was it year one? Was it year two? Was it at the end of your tenure? Say, hey, I'm going to go to the NFL and I'm going to get an opportunity somewhere.
To tell you the truth, I really didn't know. I really didn't. As well as I played up there, I still didn't know if ever I was going to get that call, because as I look back into the league, I think Doug Williams was in the league at that time, but then he left and he went to the USFL. I think Vince Evans was another African-American quarterback at that time. He left and went to the USFL. There wasn't any African-American quarterbacks in the league. When I came to Houston, I was the only starter in the league, and then Brian Ransom was our third-string quarterback. He was the only other African-American in the league. So when I was up there, I just didn't know if it was going to ever happen for me. And I had already kind of said to myself, maybe I'm going to stay up here the rest of my career because I enjoyed it. I loved being up there. I loved playing. I loved winning. But I got to a point to where I had so much success. It's like I'm looking for new challenges. And the NFL was always, you know, my main goal when I started playing football as a young kid. So there's no question I wanted to try it if I got the opportunity.
Do you think if you were a white guy, you would have been in the NFL from the beginning?
Probably. At that time, yeah.
Is that frustrating? Yeah. I mean, no. Not now, but I mean, at the time, was it frustrating for you?
It was definitely frustrating, but I also understood what I was dealing with at that time, so there was nothing I could really do about it. I just knew that was the times. That was the mentality of a lot of teams. It wasn't like there wasn't any African-American quarterbacks at any time. You know, James Harris, who I rooted for with the Rams, had been in the league and had some success. Marlon Briscoe was the first one. I think Joe Gilliam was another one that I looked at, but those guys were gone. So, it was just you just didn't know, you know, what teams were going to think about you as a African-American quarterback at that time. And I just had to kind of just in my mind say, okay, I'm just going to keep working hard. I'm going to keep trying to get better. And hopefully when that knock on the door comes, I'll be ready to walk through that door.
I'd always kind of thought by now we'd be to a point where we wouldn't – think about black quarterbacks versus white quarterbacks, or like did you have a black quarterback or a white quarterback? But they still do, obviously. I mean,
not as much. I mean, if you look around the league and see where African Americans are being drafted now, they're up at the top of the draft. You look a couple of years ago, Jameis Winston was the number one overall pick. Michael Vick was the number one overall pick. Cam Newton was the number one overall pick. Donovan McNabb, number three overall pick. A lot of African Americans have been high round draft picks. Have done very well or being highly endorsed in all those different things too. So there's no question things have changed. The mentality of African Americans at that position has definitely changed in the National Football League. And they just feel like now if you can play, you'll get an opportunity. But there are other guys like a Lamar Jackson who we're talking about in the draft this year. There's some people that are saying that he probably should try and switch positions, even though he's had a successful career in college as a quarterback. So he's going to give it an opportunity, and I hope somebody gives him a legitimate opportunity to play quarterback.
And it's I actually covered you with the Oilers when I was at the Chronicle when you first came over, and some of the stuff you had to deal with was not just there's a lot of off the field stuff. There'd be rumors. There's people creating controversy that wasn't there. You were more in the spotlight than I think. some of the things you had to deal with, I don't think people get anymore because there really was not just racist stuff, but I mean, they make up stuff about your personal life.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that you dealt with that with as much dignity as you did was really impressive.
Again, you just kind of understood that was the times and I knew playing that position, it was going to bring on a lot of popularity, but it was also going to bring on a lot of scrutiny. And the fact that I was African-American might bring on a little bit more. So, I did have to be a little bit tougher about it. It did bother me from time to time. Not so much me, because I dealt with some of that when I went to college at the University of Washington as well. So I had dealt with it. But now all of a sudden you have a family and you have young kids who have to deal with it and go to school every day and get teased by kids or be in the stands and listen to people call your dad names and things like that. That's the part that was tough for me to deal with, to try and switch from being a football player after a game to now sitting my son down in the locker room and trying to explain to him what he was listening to in the stands.
Are you still, I think you are still, the only black quarterback in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
How long do you think it's going to take before someone joins you there?
I hope not long. You'd like to see, somebody like Donovan McNabb, who had a really good career, went to a Super Bowl, went to, I think, four NFC championship games, has a really good touchdown interception ratio. He's a guy that I think deserves a nod. You look at Randall Cunningham winning a couple of MVPs when he was a player and how dynamic he was at the time when he was playing. He's probably got a chance to be a Hall of Famer one day. So we'll just have to wait and see, but it was definitely quite an honor for me to be the first. And, I thanked all those guys who came before me, like we talked about earlier, Doug Williams. I thanked James Harris and all the guys who were kind of mentors to me coming up and gave me that motivation that maybe one day I could play in the league as well.
You were a part of a lot of really interesting teams with the Oilers, not just, good teams, but also teams that had a lot of off-field drama and that whole NFL Network thing they did on that.
Our 93 team was a hoot, There was not a dull day that whole season, and for us to be able to, you know, still win 12 games that year. I think we won 11 games in a row at that time, and nobody had ever done that until I think the Patriots did it when they won the 18 straight. But it just shows, you know, the type of talent that we had on that team, and it was such a disappointment that we didn't do better in the playoffs, because that was a very, very talented team. But I think by the end of the year, we were just emotionally and mentally drained by everything that we had to deal with throughout that year. I can't make that as an excuse for why we lost. Of course, Kansas City just beat us. You know, they beat us fair and square, but we dealt with a lot that season.
What was your favorite memory as an Oiler? Because you certainly had a lot of good moments.
Yeah, I think the first, the biggest memory or the best was, you know, we went through about 3 years, my first 3 years of some really tough time trying to build our football team. Because when I came here, we were 2-14 team the year before, and we had some lean years up until we finally, I think in 1987, won our first playoff game at home against Seattle. And just to know what we had gone through, everything that I had gone through personally, our team had gone through, and to finally, you know, break into the playoffs, win a game at home in front of our home crowd, that was one of the highlights.
Are you living in Seattle still?
I am. Yeah, I'm working with the Seahawks, and I've been doing their color analyst work for the last 14 years. And I wanted to stay here in Houston, but there wasn't a football team here when I retired. You know, the Texans didn't come in to what, 05 or something like that. So I wanted to stay in football. I got that opportunity to go up to Seattle where I had played and where I went to school. So I decided to go up there and move. But I'm down here in Houston a lot. I have 4 kids that still live here. They're grown. They have families. I'm here this weekend. My 11-year-old granddaughter, Kylie, we're having a birthday party for her tonight. I have a new grandson who I haven't seen yet. It was just born a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to get a chance to see him as well. So a lot of family still here, and so I'm down here a lot visiting.
Yeah, your son, one of your sons worked for us for a while.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, my son Joshua, he's the one who is the father of Noah, and I'm looking forward to seeing him tonight.
You talked about they didn't have a team. They do now.
Yeah, they do.
And The owner's been in the news as of late. Bob McNair, he can't seem to keep his mouth shut about things. If you had heard some of the stuff that it's reported that Bob McNair said, how would you have handled that if you were playing at the time?
I would have actually went and talked to him just to really get his sense of did he really say these things, and if he did say these things, what did he mean by them?
Right.
Because I'm his quarterback, and I'm a spokesperson for the organization, and I want us all to be on the same page about what's going on. But if I'm not on the same page, I at least want to understand your side of it. So that would have been how I would have handled it as a quarterback. I would have went to him to find out exactly what he meant by these things, because I think the owners, you know, it's only 32 of them, they should have a gag order amongst of them just to not even talk about that subject right now, because none of them are on the same page as far as the messages they're trying to put out there to the communities around the country. Some say they don't mind the kneeling. Some say they don't like it. Some say they're going to look at it. Everybody's got a different opinion about it, and I think they really need to get a more solid opinion as a league on how they want to handle this whole thing.
What do you think happened with Colin and the Seahawks?
I think they asked him the question straight out. Are you still thinking about doing the kneeling? And what else are you doing as a social activist? And I think when he gave them the answers, they didn't like probably the amount of time he still wants to spend on that. And I think when you're a quarterback in the NFL, you've got to be all in on football. And that doesn't mean you can't do anything else in your life, but that definitely can't be one of your main motivations. And I think that's the biggest concern with all the teams around the league about Colin. How much does he love the game of football, and how much does he really want to play it? And I think the fact that he's suing the NFL, that doesn't help either.
Yeah, I'm sure that's not going to
help you get
yeah.
not going to help you get a job when you're trying to sue your employer. But I understand he's trying to sue his employer to try and get an opportunity to play, but it just doesn't paint a good picture for him as far as getting another opportunity to come back in the league.
All right, that's Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon. There's a huge event this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at the Bio City Event Center. Autograph signing featuring Warren Moon, tons of former and current NFL and Major League Baseball stars. Troy Aikman's going to be there, LaDainian Tomlinson, Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, Jose Altuve, Carlos Correa, and many more. But the biggest name is Warren Moon. He will be there.
That's right.
It'll be a lot of fun. I hope people come out and to say hello and take a picture, or if you want to get an autograph, do that as well. And it's always great to be back in Houston and see the fans that I've had here for so long.
Well, great to have you on. Thanks for spending some time with us. And my favorite moment of yours was the 527-yard game against the Chiefs.
That was pretty special, too. I mean, I'm glad we won that game. You know, what if you're Tom Brady, you throw for five, whatever, in the Super Bowl, and you lose? So you definitely want to win when you have those type of performances.
Yeah, it wound up being a close game. It was 28-21, I think. But I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback that was on his game as much as you were that day. I mean,
actually, it was 27-10.
27-10?
Yeah. We'll get with the times, Fred.
You know, we got after him pretty good that day. That's why I came out of the game early, believe it or not, and people said I could have broke the record, but I just wanted to come out because I didn't want to keep throwing the ball and try and break a record, just throwing it when you know you're comfortable in the lead and you might play that team again somewhere down the line in the playoffs.
How long ago did you ditch the mustache?
Probably 3 or 4 years after I retired. I just wanted a different look.
And man, when I picture Warren Moon in my head, like I expect you to walk in here with that standalone
mustache. I know,
and
now the mustache is coming back again, so who knows? I might have to grow it back again.
It might be time for you.
But you know what? I was the black Tom Selleck back in those days.
You were? Absolutely.
All right. Well, we appreciate the time, Warren, and hopefully you guys go out and see him tomorrow and get some autographs and some pictures and say hello. Be at the Bayou City Event Center.
All right, thanks a lot for having me on, guys.
Our pleasure, man. Thank you.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.